Psalm 116, and I want to say thank you to all of you who have been here every service. That encourages an evangelist, and it really does when people come back. I have prayed before that. I've said, "Dear Lord, please, I pray you'd make me a preacher that people would want to hear. And Lord, I pray you'd make me a preacher that people would come back to hear. I pray you'd make me a preacher that people would even try to get somebody else to come with them to come back to hear." That prayer has not yet been answered, but I'm still praying it. I'm still praying it. And I want to thank the Lord for Brother Jeff back there. I told him, I said, if nobody else appreciates you, I do. Then my wife came up and told him the same thing. I just appreciate a man that really cares about the sound. While we're up here singing, he's back there like a mother over her baby. I mean, he's just looking at us, looking at his controls, and I just really appreciate that very much. Well, we've got our CDs over there, and we didn't put this out, but this is the Marion Avenue Boys. These are two of our sons, John and Sam, and then our son-in-law, Joseph Brown. He was not our son-in-law then, but he is now, and he's our pastor. These guys are teenagers. And now, Jonathan might be 20 by this time. I don't know. But I think when they made their first CD, they were all teenagers, weren't they? But they came up with a real good blend for three guys. And this is, we've only got two of these, but they're over there. And like the others, just $5 if you'd like one. Now, this one, this is the Sugar Grove Singers. We're going back in history. The Sugar Grove Singers. We started singing together in the 80s, 1980s. Early 1980s, wasn't it? And we made tapes, like Brother Fritz talks about, tapes. But we never made a CD. We stopped singing before the CDs began to be popular. But we took two of our tapes, at least some of the songs, and 14 songs, and put them on this one. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you about this, because I've only got one with me. Well, maybe we ought to do this. Let's have an auction tonight. Does anybody here an auctioneer? Can anybody sold? Can anybody do that? Well, I won't do that. But my wife said, "Give it to the preacher." All right. Did you hear music? I mean, well, here we go. $50, Brother Fritz. What's your bid? Okay, my wife suggested we give it to the preacher, and so we'll do that. But I'll tell you this, if you'd like one, we have to order them ourselves from Faith Music Missions, and I could get you one. In fact, I could have one sent here if you'd like one. Brother Kenny Calloway is on here, the man we sang with, and I know you've never met Brother Kenny. Most of you probably have not. You Alexanders ever run into Kenny Calloway along the way? But he wrote a lot of great songs. He wrote, you've heard this song, "One day I ran to the city of refuge." He wrote that song. That's gone around. And he wrote "The Mind of Christ." And he wrote "The Other Side of the Boat." Did you ever hear that one? Victory may be just a few feet away on the other side of the boat. And "Don't Be Left Standing in the Ashes." "In Control." "Cross Over to Victory's Side." Man, he wrote a lot of great songs. "A Vessel of Mercy." And, you know, he was just an uneducated, well, I won't say totally uneducated. I don't think he finished high school. Worked in a furniture factory. Had big, thick glasses. He only had one eye, and he had real thick glasses. And he was an introvert, very much of an introvert. I think he still is. And when we would sing, he would close his eyes. And, you know, some people thought he might be trying to be cool, you know, be like Ray Charles or somebody. But no, he didn't want to look out and see people. He's just timid. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and God would touch him. And of course, we got some of the fallout when we were singing with him. And I've seen times at the Sugar Grove Baptist Church in Kentucky. Nobody, you slow learners. You need to put your hand over your heart when I say Kentucky. That is the promised land. But we'd be singing at Sugar Grove. It didn't happen every week or every month. But we would be up singing a song, and somebody would come to the altar. And then somebody else would come to the altar. And then somebody else would come. And I have seen on a Sunday morning, I've seen the altar full. People weeping, getting right with God. I remember one boy getting up, going back and getting his daddy, bringing him to the altar. And God just moved until 12 o'clock or past 12 o'clock. And our pastor, Brother Eddie Calloway, a first cousin of Brother Kenny, he would get up and he'd just say, I never forget it, he'd say, just mind God. Just mind God. Whatever God's telling you to do, sing another song. He'd go sit down. And we'd sing, go to 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock, God just blessing. I don't see that much. I haven't seen it much anywhere. But I have seen it, but it's very rare. Well, all right, did I tell you Psalms 116? Psalm 116. Jakey, I'll give you a few. Give that top one to the pastor. Just put the other one on the table there for me. I appreciate Brother Jake. I appreciate a teenager I can look up to. I really do. I believe he loves the Lord, and it shows, and I thank God. On the front row, praise God. I've been in meetings where the teenagers are so far back you need binoculars to see them, but thank God for teenagers who love the Lord. Psalm 116, let's stand together. Let's do something a little different tonight. I want to read. They call it reading responsibly. You all may do that regularly here, but some churches do. I'll read the first verse, you read the second. I'll read the third verse by myself, and then you come back in on the fourth, and just every other one like that. Let's read through this psalm. We'll read all 19 verses like that. I'm telling you, folks, this is holy ground. The whole Bible's holy ground, but Psalm 116, it is a pearl of all the psalms. It's a diamond. And I want you, maybe you might see something tonight you never saw. I hope you do. But let's read like that. Verse number 1 says, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Let's read 19 together. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you for all the psalms. Oh, I love them, Lord. I live in the psalms. And I thank you for this psalm that has blessed me so many times. And I pray tonight, Lord, as I attempt to bring a message out of this psalm tonight, that you would help me. Lord God, I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of the Lord and anoint me with that fresh oil and control my mind, my thoughts. Lord God, I pray that the words I say would be pleasing to you, that you'd not allow me to say anything or get off on any trail that I don't need to be on. But Lord, don't let me leave out anything that needs to be said here tonight. Give these dear folks ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Help them to concentrate and not let their mind wander. Lord, we just pray You'd resist the devil, rebuke the devil, keep him out of here, put him far from here. Don't let him interfere in any way in this service. We plead the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus against the powers of darkness. And we ask You tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of God would prevail in this service. Lord, that we might all get our hearts right with God. I pray this prayer, Lord, specifically, that we all might leave here more in love with You, more determined to love the Lord than we've ever been. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I love the Lord. Psalm 31:23 says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints." There's a psalm that said, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Amen. We need to love God, but we also need to hate evil. What I don't know of a statement that could be more wonderful to come from human lips than, "I love the Lord." I believe it's a blessing to God when somebody can actually say it with an honest heart, "I love the Lord." Now, a lot of people say that and they don't mean it. And, there are people that it's only lip service. They've learned how to say that. They've learned how to, speak religiously. They've learned how to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But it's not real. And Ezekiel talked about them. He said, God spoke to Ezekiel and He said, "They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as My people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Isaiah talked about people like that. "This people draw near Me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor Me, but have removed their heart far from Me." There are people like that. There are people in our Baptist churches like that. I doubt if there's anybody like that here tonight. If you care enough about God and His work and His house to be here on a Tuesday night, I'd say you probably love the Lord. And it's not just lip service for you. But you know what? We can love God more. And there could be folks here tonight, and you can honestly say, "I love the Lord." But let me ask you this, do you love the Lord as much as you ever did? Is it possible maybe some in here tonight you've left your first love? You know, that was a great church in the book of Revelation that God inspired John the Revelator to speak to them. And He named all of their good works, all the wonderful things they were doing. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You don't love Me like you used to. You've left your first love." You know, you can lose leave the person. That happens sometimes. Somebody just leaves. They leave the marriage. That happened to Charles Weigel, one of the greatest men of God, I guess, ever walked on this earth, Charles Weigel. And his wife just said, "I don't want to be married to a preacher." And she was gone. Never came back. Not long after that, Charles Weigel sat down at the piano and wrote, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." He said the words came in about 10 minutes, the music and the words. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." A man with a broken heart. Sometimes that happens. You know, you leave the person. But sometimes you just leave the passion. You know, folks stay together, but they've lost the passion. They've lost that sizzle. They've lost that first love. They've lost that romance. That happens in a lot of marriages. Some people stay together, they say, maybe for the kids' sake. And you know, it happens too often that after the kids are gone, people go their separate ways. They only stayed together. They lost their first love. They stood at an altar one day, madly in love, but they left their first love. That's sad. That's very sad. There's one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to lose my first love for that lady right there. I loved her so much. And I'm standing there, and she was coming down that aisle, a bride adorned for her husband. I looked out. She's the most beautiful thing I ever saw on the face of this earth. And I loved her then, and I love her now. I love her more now than I did then. I was young. She was young. A lot of things about love I didn't even know. I didn't even understand. I was maybe caught up more in the emotion. But you know, love is a lot more than emotion. And it goes deep. And I thank the Lord for my dear wife. And you know, sometimes people need to get right with God. And sometimes people need to get right with one another. In marriage, they really do. But I'm preaching tonight about people that can honestly say, I love the Lord. I was preaching a message last year in Illinois, in Clinton, Illinois. And no, it wasn't. I've got it mixed up. I was in Monticello, Illinois. You know, we have been in more churches in Illinois than any other state. We've been in over 40 churches in Illinois. And we're Southerners. And these Yankees keep inviting us to come to their church, you know. But over 40 churches. There are a lot of great churches in Illinois. But we were in Monticello, and I was preaching a message called Birds in the Church. Birds in the Church. And I said, there's a lot of different kinds of birds. You know, you've got parrots. All they can do is say what somebody else taught them to say. And you got peacocks. They're so full of pride, they can't stand it. You know, everybody's got to notice them and admire them. And you got buzzards, you know, that just fly around looking for something dead all the time. They're interested in the latest gossip and backbiting and all that kind of junk. And then you've got chickens in the church. They're scared to death to tell anybody about the Lord. They're cowards. They won't tell anybody about the Lord. And then, thank God, though, you got eagles. Praise God. You got Christians that they just soar like an eagle. They mount up with wings like an eagle. But I was on my first point in this message about the parrot. I said there's some people, they don't have any walk with God. All they can do is what somebody tells them to do. All they can say is what somebody has taught them to say. You know, they're not plugged into God. That's a good illustration there of Abraham and Lot. You know, Abraham was plugged into God, and Lot was plugged into Abraham. Abraham, he had a walk with God. Everywhere Abraham went, he built altars and worshiped God and sacrificed to God. But Lot, you never find where Lot built an altar. He didn't have a walk with God. As long as he was with Uncle Abraham, he was all right. But when they went their separate ways, Lot went down because he was plugged into Abraham, not to God. So I'm preaching about that. Parrots, they can only say what somebody else has taught them to say. And a six-year-old boy looked at his mother and said, I need to be saved. Right there in the service, she took him out into a Sunday school room and led him to the Lord. And back in that Sunday school room, he looked at his mother and he said, by the way, this was a foster child. And he looked at his mother and said, I don't want to be like a parrot. I don't want to just say what you say. That little boy, 6 years old, was that tuned in to the message. You never know what's going on in the hearts and minds of children. Amen. But I'm preaching tonight about people that can honestly say, I love the Lord. If you can say that, you are a blessing. You're a blessing to God. You're a blessing to others. And you know what? You're a blessing now. You'll be a blessing in the future. And your memory will be revered by those who remember you as somebody who could honestly say, I love the Lord. And I think about my dear old grandma. Her name was Lucy Webb. Lived in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And she loved God with all of her heart. She was not a Baptist, forgive her, but she was Assembly of God. But my friend, she was plugged into God, and she loved the Lord. And she even wrote some songs and poems about the Lord. And, you know, she didn't have a TV. My mom and dad, they had a TV, and they watched that primetime junk. And my poor old grandma had come to visit. She didn't know what to do with herself, sitting in there and them watching that. But, you know, she tried to be sociable. And she wouldn't even cut her hair. I mean, that's old-time Pentecostal sort of teaching. She wouldn't even cut her hair. And
I remember one day I walked back into the back bedroom and I called her Mama. Mama was back in there and she had her hair down and it was all way out here. And it scared me. I'd never seen her like that. She always kept it in a bun, you know, up on top of her head, kind of wove it around like that. But it scared me. But you know what? I still think of her. And I mean, just an afterglow from heaven. Her life, the way she loved God. And then my mother, oh, how she loved the Lord. My dear mom. And, you know, I think she only went along with that TV. My dad was addicted to TV, and he loved to watch it. And at one time I was too. But when Dad went to heaven, Mom got rid of that thing and said, I don't want to watch that. But she loved the Lord so much, my dear mother. Everybody knew she loved the Lord. And she's a blessing to me. Her memory is precious to me to this day. Somebody who could honestly say, I love the Lord. I want you to notice in the first part of this chapter, we have reasons why we ought to love the Lord. Reasons why. It starts out, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. God Almighty, who made this universe and who runs this universe. Think about it. How many is it now? 8 billion? Have we got 8 billion people now? And God has to take care of all of them. God watches over all of them. God knows about all of them. And yet when I even whisper to the Lord, He hears me. I can even think about the Lord and He knows my thoughts. He hears my voice. Makes me love the Lord. He heard me when I needed Him so much. When I was down in the valley and I couldn't get out. When I was going through a storm and I didn't know how I'd make it through that storm. In the darkest of night, I'd cry out to the Lord. He heard my voice. I love the Lord. He inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I love the Lord because of verse 5. He's gracious and He's righteous and He's merciful. Talk about reasons to love the Lord. He's gracious. He's full of grace. He's got all the grace we'll ever need and a whole lot more. He's righteous. Thank God He always does right. He's always right. You may not agree with Him. There are times I don't agree with God. There are times I don't understand. There are times that my wants and His desires, they just don't agree. But He's right. He's right. He's never been wrong. He's a righteous God. I love Him for that. He's a merciful God. Oh, how merciful He is. I love Psalm 136. His mercy endureth forever. 26 times in a row. His mercy endureth forever. He never runs out of mercy. And I thank God. You know why we're free tonight? You know why we're free to have this assembly tonight? Only one reason, the mercy of God. If we got justice as a nation, think about it. We've got the blood of 61 million babies on our hands. As Americans today, 61, probably more than that. Those are the ones that have been counted. And then we finally overturn Roe versus Wade and people want to riot in the streets and go crazy because they can't kill babies legally. God ought to wipe us out. I mean, now, you know, for a long time we've had perverted people. But now they're perverting children and getting away with it. Now they're mutilating children in the name of this transgenderism. I can't say the word transgender without putting another word with it, insanity. Transgenderism is insanity. And the day's coming, they'll lock us up for saying that. If we don't have a revival in this country, the day's coming, that'll be too much. They can't take that, but it is. It's insanity. These people, and now they're doing it to children. They've always had their gay pride parades, you know, parading around and in their disgusting manner. Now they've got children out there. Now they've got children marching in those parades carrying their rainbow flags. How can God let us live? Only mercy. Only mercy. I thank Him for His mercy every day. Thank God for His mercy. And in Daniel's prayer over in Daniel chapter 9, you'll see where Daniel talked about mercy. He said, Lord, he said, we don't pray. I don't ask this because of our righteousness. I ask it because of your mercy that you would save us. And thank God he did. Oh, there's so many reasons to love the Lord. So many reasons. I love verse number 8. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Thank God he's even delivered me from the second death. Mine eyes from tears and my feet from falling. What a verse. Shakespeare can't match that. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. Wonderful things that the Lord has done. How we ought to love the Lord. But I want you to notice verse number 12. When you get to verse number 12, there's a change. Instead of reasons why we ought to love the Lord, when you come to verse 12, you find the results of loving the Lord. He starts out verse 12 with a question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? He's saying, what can I do for the Lord? What can I give to the Lord? He's been so good to me. All of His benefits toward me, what shall I render unto the Lord? And then I want you to notice, you may have noticed this before, I'm sure Brother Fritz has, but if you don't mind marking in your Bible, if you have a highlighter or a pen, you might notice this. Verse number 13 starts out with, I will. And verse 14 starts out with, I will. And verse number 17 starts with, I will. And then there's a will right in the middle of 17. And verse number 18 starts out with, I will. Here's a willing servant. Here's a man who's willing. Whatever God wants, I will take the cup of salvation and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. And I don't know if you noticed it, but that verse is repeated down in verse number 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now. Let me stop just a minute. Let me pause just a minute on that. Let me park right here. Have you made any vows to God you haven't kept? Have you made any vows? So many times when it's dark and we're in trouble and we've got to have a miracle, we make a vow to God. In hospitals, people make vows to God. Get me out of here and I'll serve you. And they don't fulfill that vow. Oh, Lord, if you'll just do this, I'll do this. And then you don't do what you said. But here's a man, he loves God. And he said, I'll pay my vows. Lord, I'll pay my vows in the presence of all Thy people. I'll do what I said I would do. He says in verse 16, oh, Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant. Brother Fritz, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, if everybody in this church would just totally fall in love with God, this building wouldn't hold the people. I believe that. This building would not hold the people. If we all fell in love with God, you know, I believe in soul winning. I believe in knocking on doors. I believe in handing out tracts. You know that by now. But you know, some people do it because they just feel like they're expected to do it. Some people do it because they feel like, if I don't do it, God won't bless me. Some people do it, you know, just maybe to impress somebody else. Some people do it just because of what the preacher said, do it. And I'm going to do what the preacher said. But my friend, here's the motive. To tell people about Jesus because you love Him so much, you can't be quiet about Him. I mean, you love Him so much, you've got to tell somebody. You've got to tell your neighbors. You've got to let them know how good the Lord is. And you've got that first love burning in your soul. And you just got to tell somebody how good the Lord is. And you got to tell them on a regular basis. Amen. Does anybody here know? What is it? Gordon Cook? Does anybody know Gordon Cook? Nobody knows Gordon Cook? He lives right next door. Have you folks got amnesia or what? Has Alzheimer's set in? Gordon Cook, the barber. Anybody ever have their hair cut? I don't know. He's 80 years old now. But I was just walking in the gym today.
and getting some exercise. And a preacher called me, and I was trying to get back with him, and I had no reception. So I opened the door of the gym, you know, on the other side, and I stepped outside, and there sat a man over there, Gordon Cook, K-O-C-H, yeah. And I went over, and, well, first, I just went back in the gym, but God wouldn't leave me alone. And I felt like I need to say something to that man. Then I thought, of course, then the devil probably came and said, everybody's talked to that man. You don't want to go over there and bother him. He lives right next to the church. So I just kept walking. And something, I said, Lord, is this you or is it me? Do I need to go talk to that man? And finally I said, I don't know if it's you or me, but I need to go talk to him. I went over there. I'm telling you, one of the kindest, gentlest men that I believe I've ever met. A gentleman. I mean, just talked and very, very, very friendly. And he said, yeah, I'll go over here to the Catholic Church, which he pointed to it right over there. And so I said, well, but he said, my wife used to be Baptist. I said, oh, so you know about being saved. You know about being saved. He said, yeah, I know about that. But he's not saved. But he's heard about it. And I said, Gordon, he told me he's right at 80 years old. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No, I don't know that. I don't know that. And I'd like to think I would. And I said, could I take the Bible and show you? And he didn't want me to do that. But he did take a gospel tract. I got one here that I carry with me called How to Know You're Going to Heaven. And I just said, Gordon, you can know. You can know. And he took that tract. He said he would read it. And when I was walking away, I invited him to the revival, you know. And he said, well, I go over here to the Catholic Church. But when I was walking away, I said, well, if you could make it over, you'd be our guest. And when I was walking away, he said, good luck to you. Good luck. And I thanked him. But my friend, listen, there's no reason in the world why that man ought to go to hell. No reason in the world. And really, when I asked that question, now I'm an evangelist. Evangelists, they've got to make somebody mad, you know. We make people mad, then we ride out of town and leave the pastor with all the cleanup. But really, when I said Gordon Cook, every one of you should have known who he was. And every one of you should have witnessed to that man at some time. Am I getting too mean, brother? Am I getting too mean here? Are we going to let that man go to hell? Are we going to let him go to hell? Don't do it. I prayed for him later on today, later in the day. My friend, let me just say this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll make this statement, and I don't believe I could be corrected here. Loving God is the greatest thing you can do. Loving God is the greatest thing you can do. And here's what I base that on. Because it is the greatest commandment God ever gave. And it's here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you know about it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, I know that's the greatest commandment because in Matthew chapter 22, a scribe asked Jesus point blank, Master, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus took him right here and said, this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God. And Jesus added to it. Now, he can do that, don't you, to add to the Word of God, but Jesus is God. And he said, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, that's the greatest commandment.
Hey, could I ask you tonight, if that's the greatest commandment, what is the greatest sin? What is the greatest sin? We've all got our catalogs of sin. You know, boy, and preachers can get up and preach on certain sins, and man, the amens are flying through the air like arrows. And then you get on other sins, and it gets as quiet as a cemetery. But what is the greatest sin? I would think it would be to break the greatest commandment and not to love the Lord with all our heart and soul and mind. That's what we were made for. That's why we were created, to love God and walk with Him and enjoy God all of our days. And I want you to notice before we leave here, right after He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," in verse number 6, he begins to talk about the Word of God. And he said these words, and notice this, my friend, maybe you've seen it before. Verse 5 starts with "and." Verse 6 starts with "and." Verse 7 starts with "and." Verse 8 starts with "and." Verse 9, all these verses, they're all connected. I want to say to you tonight, you can't love God without this book. You can't do it. You can't love God if you're not right with this book. You might think you can, but you cannot. And God knew that. And that's why the first thing He said was these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just in your head, but in your heart. And then He talks about teaching the Word of God to your children. Talking about it all day long. Why? So your children will love the Lord and grow up and love God with all their heart. You're kidding yourself. You're fooling yourself tonight if you think you can ignore this Bible and your love for God be right. It will not be right. If you're not in the Word of God, I mean seriously in the Word of God, reading it, memorizing it. That's where we get, you know, people say, "I know that by heart." When I was in school, I learned the Gettysburg Address by heart. I could recite it. That's where it comes from. The word shall be in thine heart. He's talking about memorizing the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Let me give you a few statements and I'm done. It's the greatest commandment because God knew this. The more you love God, the happier you'll be. The happiest people are the ones who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The more you love God, the more time you'll spend with Him. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. The more you love God, the more you'll abide in Him. And when you abide in Him, you'll bear fruit. Jesus said that in John 15. Abide in me and I in you and you'll bear much fruit. And it'll be fruit that remains. You talk about fruit that remains. I preached not long ago in the church I got saved in. And Jeremy Farmer was there, the guy that wrote that song. And another guy, Terry Shepherd, was there. And you know, all three of us got saved in that revival 53 years ago. And there we all were, three of us. That's called fruit that remains. Still serving God after 53 years. See, I'm just not fruitful. I'm not fruitful. I beat myself up too. I don't see people saved like I want to see saved. I don't. God knows that. And I pray for the Lord to help me. But the more you abide in Him, the more you love Him, the more you'll want to abide in Him. Hey, what about this? The more you love God, the less you'll love yourself. The Lord says over and over again, die to self, die to self. And the more you love God, you can check it out. The people in the Bible who got close to God, Abraham, he said, "I am but dust and ashes." Isaiah got close to God, saw the vision of God, and he said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He was probably the holiest man on earth at that time, but he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Even Job, the great Job, I love Job. Job, when he really, really, really got close to God, he said, "I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes." And on through the Bible, Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Peter, when Jesus worked that miracle, Peter fell down before him and said, depart from me. I'm an unclean man. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Depart from me. And all through the Bible, you find the closer people get to God, the worse they look in their own eyes. And listen to this. The more you love God, the more you'll love others. The more you love God, the more you'll love souls. The more you love God, husbands, the more you love your wife. And wife, the more you love your husband, the more you love God. It just works that way. The greatest thing you can do for your marriage is love God. Get up in the morning and meet with God. Worship God. Praise God. Adore God. Meet with God in the morning and it'll do something for you. It'll knock the grouchiness out of you. It'll give you a sweet spirit. One man said, I need to see the face of God before I see the face of another. Old Robert Murray McShane, the great man of God, said that. Let's bow for prayer. Father,